Jorge. Good morning to everyone. Subject that we're going to be looking at, or the person, character we're going to be studying, is concerning the man John the Baptist. According to the Firm Foundations, number 33, and has been going through the study. This is where we're at. I'm going to look at the life of John the Baptist. He is one of the men in Scripture that we see much in detail concerning his birth, and a man whom God raised up as a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a messenger of God, appointed of God to be that one who would go before the Lord Jesus Christ and prepare the way for he who was to come to present himself as the one who would save man in the depths of their sin. As much in Scripture as I've been studying and looking at verses, there's much in Scripture that is spoken of concerning John the Baptist. And when we look at the Scriptures, we see how important the ministry of John the Baptist is and was. God chose this man. In his birth, he was a chosen vessel. And God spoke to Zacharias, his father, and his mother Elizabeth, while stricken in years, that they would have a son. But I want to say that he was a man who was known as a messenger. And the Word of God speaks of many messengers previous in the Old Testament. The prophets were messengers of God. Prophets spoke a message from God to the people. The people rebelled and did not heed to the message of the prophets. Lastly, God would send his only son. And we find here they rejected the message of his own son as well. They rejected the message of John the Baptist as well. There's many messages in the world today. There are many who are claiming to be messengers of God, claiming to open and use the Word of God, and claiming as a message they proclaim come from God, and yet hold back the truth of the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know nothing of the greatness of the power and might of the gospel to change men's lives. Simply present a social gospel, a message that the people want to hear, a message that tingles the ears of people, what they want to hear, in order that they can continue in that lifestyle that they have. And they're looking for messengers like that, and they're out there today. But when we present the simple message of the Word of God, it must bring conviction in the life of a person. Cannot continue in the life of the world and heed to their message, and at the same time heed to the message of God. It can't work. There's only one message, and there's only one messenger that we're going to look in Scripture and see. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the simple gospel message, has power to save, power to change men's lives and women's lives, bring them into right relationship with Him, and seek to live for Him rather than their own desires and their own lifestyles of the world. We need to be careful because there are many messages that are being spoken today. We need to go to the Scriptures and test the spirits and test the messengers according to the Word of God to see if they be true. See if they're the truth of God's Word and centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a messenger whom God had sent. One of the traditions was that when an honored person would come or go to an area, that there would be one that would go before and prepare the way. There would be one who would do all the preparation in order for that person to come, of royalty, to come to that area. And it's the same picture that is used with John the Baptist. As God chose him to be the one, would be the one who would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We're going to look at his birth. I'm not going to spend too much time because it's very much in detail when you get the chance to read Luke chapter 1. I would like to focus this morning some on his birth, some on his character, and some on his call that God had upon his life. We see the conception of John in Luke chapter 1 as Zechariah was one who ministered in the temple. He would, in executing the priest's office, it was his custom to burn incense in the evening sacrifice in the temple. And while he was there, the angel of the Lord came to him in verse 10. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord, their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Interesting how God planned the birth of John. Was prophesying that he would be born, that God would raise up a messenger to proclaim the message. And John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God raised up a messenger with a particular message of repentance. Notice what the angels said to Zacharias. First of all, I want to say that as thou shalt, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus, God said to Joseph, or God said to Mary, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And reminded that God said that he would have a son. I believe God spoke to Joseph and said that he would have a son. And God said to Elizabeth that he shall bear thee a son. It's a big difference. You see, the Lord Jesus was born in a miraculous birth, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was a son. He was the Son of God. John was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He would bear thee a son. The Lord Jesus was born in a miraculous way. He was God's only son, that a son would be born. It was a miracle that Elizabeth could conceive and have a son. It was only God that could bring that to pass. God allowed them that they might have a son. What's impossible with man is possible with God, isn't it? And so we see that the angel of the Lord says to Zacharias that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen up greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He was to be great. Now John was born as a human birth. He was born a sinner before God. The Lord Jesus was born perfect. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He wasn't above reproach or above sin. He was a sinner. He was born in sin. How was he to be great? Notice in verse 13, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. Until John came, the law and the prophets prophesied until his birth, until his ministry. It was until he came that the law and the prophets prophesied. And I believe the greatness that he's talking about is the fact that John would preach to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John preached concerning the law. And I believe John was the last prophet before the Lord Jesus Christ died. Now some of you can check me out onto that. But the law still went on until when? Until the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. The only way the power of the law could be broken was through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as he fulfilled the law. No other way. But the prophecy continued until John. And as John continued to preach concerning the kingdom of heaven, concerning that one who was to come, that he was preparing the way for that one to come. As he continued to preach concerning him and his fulfillment of the law and the prophetical message of the things that were yet to come, he was that one as the forerunner, the message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi speaks of him as a messenger. Isaiah speaks to him as a voice. In verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap." Malachi speaks concerning the prophet that would come. Speaking here of John the Baptist as a messenger that would come. He would be great in the sight of God. He's preparing before me, he's preparing the way for the Lord. And he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Reminded that John the Baptist was it was said of him there in Matthew. Notwithstanding, and that is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. Yes, he was great with the message. The message was what was he was referring to. He was going to preach the great message of the gospel. But he could only do that from a heart that was filled with God and not with self. He saw himself as the least. If anyone saw them greater, he is the least. He says, "The one who is coming after me, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes, untie his shoes. I must increase, he must decrease." You see, his heart was, in the sight of God, was totally depending upon him. God had given him a great message, a message of repentance, that man would turn from their wicked ways, and their hearts would be turned to him, to the one who was to come and die for their sin. And it's the same message today that needs to be preached for. That man needs to repent. These are days when man needs to repent. Man needs to turn their hearts to God. Repent of his ways and turn to God and cry out for salvation. Cry out for his grace and mercy in forgiving man of their sin. Man needs to repent. Just in the time of John the Baptist, man needs to repent of their sin and turn to God in the sight of God and make things right with him. The message was great. And the messenger's heart was soft and depending upon God in declaration of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is coming and prepare to meet him. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 1. "Shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." John John the Baptist had taken the Nazarite vow of being set apart for God. He was consecrating himself to God. He would be consecrated to Him. He would drink neither wine nor strong drink. I wonder, how consecrated are we? Oh, we hear the message. We hear the message proclaimed week after week. The message of salvation, the message of separation from the things of the world, the message of service to God. But I wonder, does it really sink down into our hearts that God has separated you and I in service for Him? But He separated us most of all that we might know Him, that we might truly follow Him, that our lives might be that which is in accordance to the Word of God, that our lives would be so consecrated to Him that we might be so in touch with Him that our lives would speak forth the message of the gospel. We sing the song, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take myself." Do you really mean it? Do I really mean it when I sing it? Oh, it's easy to speak words and follow on. Has it really gripped our hearts? Do we really know what it is to be consecrated, to be separated, to say, "Lord, no else, no one else. There's no other message but the message of You and of Your truth and of Your ways. I want to know that message and I want to live for You." He was to be separated. Notice that He was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from His mother's womb. This Holy Spirit of God would so fill His life, would control Him from the moment He was born, right from His mother's womb. You know, the moment we're saved, the Spirit of God indwells our lives. We belong to Him. We belong to the Lord. We need to depend on the power and the control of the Spirit of God. If we quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit in disobedience to God, we live in discontent and misery because our life is not pleasing to Him. You see, John was controlled by the Spirit of God right from his mother's womb. "Many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God." There's going to be a great turning to the Lord. Part of that is we see in the ministry of John the Baptist. There were those whom John baptized in confessing their sins. And the baptism did nothing to take away their sin, did it? The baptism can do nothing. There's many today that perform baptisms, and as a result, they're told that now your sin is covered. But see, baptism never removes sin, can never forgive sin. But in the light of the fact that one had confessed their sin, John baptized as an outward manifestation that one had confessed their sin. but this one in obedience to the message, to repent, and for the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare to meet with Him. They confess their sins and receive the message of forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized by John. We're going to look at that a little further. There was a turning to God. But there's also another aspect to that, another fulfillment that is yet to take place. As a result of the judgment of God, there's going to be a great turning to Him, isn't there? Now notice what He says in verse 17. And He shall go before Him in the spirit and power of Elias. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, He quotes from Malachi chapter 4. Let's turn to that. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. One of the great prophecies of Malachi, one of his heart's convictions was that men would turn to the prophetic word. And that the prophecy that was given would be heeded by the people of Israel. Malachi speaks concerning the messenger that would come. And notice what he says. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. John would come in the spirit and the power of Elias, of Elijah. Malachi prophesies that there would be one would come, that Elijah would come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And we see a partial fulfillment in the life of John the Baptist. Turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers is yet to take place. Oh, that day is coming. It's going to be after a terrible, dreadful day of the Lord that will take place. And we'll look at that a little bit further. But He's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of God, wasn't he? He's a great prophet of God. And I think Elijah was a prophet whom God raised up at a very morally, spiritually, a time in Israel's history when Israel was far away from God. And God raised up a prophet as Elijah. And Elijah was a man of the Spirit. He was a man who knew the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit would come upon him, and he would speak and prophesy the things of God. He knew of the Spirit of God in his life. You remember before Elijah was taken up to heaven, Elijah said to Elisha, What would you like that I could do for you? And Elisha said, there's one thing I would like, be a double portion of your spirit be upon you. Elisha was a like-minded one as Elijah. He had been with Elijah and traveled with him. He watched Elisha and he fellowshipped with him and knew him. And he knew there was something very special about Elijah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. And he wanted a double portion of that Spirit. And you know, John was filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment from his mother's womb. And the Spirit of God was with him as a messenger of God and preached the message of repentance. And that was the same Spirit that was upon the ministry and the work and the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was to come, that would convict hearts of sin, of the judgment that is to come, and to turn men and women to God. It was only by the Spirit of God. And Elijah was a man with subject to like passions as we are. He was a man of prayer. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years, and God took care of him at Brook Cherith. And he prayed again and God sent rain. He was a man of prayer. He knew what prayer was all about, and anguish and heartbrokenness before God. He knew through the Spirit of God that God is the only one that hear and answer a prayer according to His will. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who knew the fullness, the control of the Spirit of God. John would be in the Spirit. Power of Elijah. And you know, it's the same Spirit, or he who is a person is the same Spirit today that indwells you and I, isn't it? And when we go astray, it's His Spirit that convicts us and woos us back to Himself. He's the same Spirit today, isn't He? He wants to control, and He wants us to know the presence of His Spirit in our lives. He wants to come in, and He wants to dwell, and He doesn't want to be grieved or pushed aside. He wants to control our lives, that His fullness might be seen in us. And I wonder, is it true in our lives? Do we really know what it is to depend upon the Spirit of God and not in ourselves and our own strength? But He wants us to depend upon Him. Not only the Spirit, but of the power of Elijah as well. God has given Elijah power. Remember, at the same time when Elijah was taken up, he and Elisha went to the bank of the Jordan River. And Elijah took his mantle and he struck the water. And the waters divided, and they walked across the Jordan River. When Elijah was taken up into the whirlwind, he gave Elisha his mantle. And Elisha's heart was heavy to see Elisha go. Was that mantle whom God had given Elijah power? When he struck the waters, they were divided. He had given him power. God had given him power to perform miracles like that. John the Baptist would know of the power of Elijah. he would know that power. But you know, John was recognized himself as the least of the kingdom of God. He didn't see himself as great, but he saw himself as least. And Elijah knew what it was to depend upon God for his power. And he knew it could only be God that could divide the water. And you know, it could only be God who could use a man such as John in preparing the way for the Redeemer that was to come. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, where time is about gone. I wanted to touch on this portion. Matthew 17. Remember, Peter, James, and John was up in the mount with the Lord Jesus, and while they were there, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. Notice in verse 9, after they had come down from the mount, in verse 9, as they came down from the mount, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of God be risen again from the dead." His disciples asked him, saying, "Why then did the scribes say that Elijah must first come?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatever they listed. Likewise also the Son of Man suffer of them." Disciples were asking him, if we saw Elias, why then is he, the scribes say that he's yet to come? We've already seen him. The Lord Jesus said that Elijah will first come and he will restore all things. The Jewish Passover, as they complete near the completion of their celebration, the door is open in anticipation that Elijah would come through the door. They're looking for someone who would come and restore. But they're not looking for the one in whom Elijah is spoken of as the Lord Jesus Christ, their only Redeemer. They're looking for Elijah. But you see, the fulfillment of that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is saying to them, Elijah truly has come. And part of fulfillment is in John the Baptist, that he has come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And they rejected his message. And he says, as they've rejected him and his message, so will I be rejected of them as well. There's a partial fulfillment that has taken place in the prophecy of Elijah. But the future is yet to take place when he restores all things. But unfortunately, it's going to be after the terrible and dreadful day of the judgment of God that things will be restored. There will be a turning of the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the children's hearts will be turned to their fathers. That day is yet to come. There's going to be tremendous judgment before God's promise will be fulfilled. Oh, it's a wonderful truth when we see it in Scripture. It so stirs us to think of the fact how the Word of God speaks so plainly and so clearly. But this prophet Elijah and his life and God's hand that is upon his life and the prophecy through him would come our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the salvation of men's souls, and would redeem men from the pit of sin and of hell, turn their life around when one repents before God. It's a tremendous message. And as we see in the life of John the Baptist, as he comes in the spirit and power of Elijah, in total obedience to God, and proclaiming the work and preaching the repentance of the kingdom of God that is yet to come, that man might turn to him. I wonder if you're here this morning and you perhaps have heard the message of redemption many times. You've heard a messenger, many messages concerning the gospel, but yet you've never bowed your head and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to repent of your sin and turn to Him for salvation. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to give you a new life if you but repent of your sin and turn to Him. If you're here this morning and perhaps you're not living a life pleasing to the Lord, can say, I'm truly not consecrated to Him. This is the day when the Lord wants to reach out. He wants you to come to Him. He will forgive your sin and give you a life of peace and restore you back to Him. You see, there's a message. There's a messenger that God has sent. Let's turn to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank Thee for Your Word. We thank You for Your dear Son. We thank You for the work of redemption. Father, how perfect the plan You designed. We thank Thee for the message of the prophets, foretold of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come and give His life on the cross of Calvary for us. Thank Thee for the wonderful work of redemption. And Father, we ask Your blessing this day. And we give You thanks for Your word in Christ's precious name.